Okay, does everybody have paper? There's papers again tonight. I want to remind you that the opening of the book of Proverbs, the first few verses of the book, gave us a sort of a mission statement for the book, a clear statement of the book's purpose. I think it's like verse 2 or 3 or 4 or something like that of Proverbs 1. It says this: what this book is for. It's for gaining wisdom and instruction. It's for understanding words of insight and to receive instruction in wisdom, namely justice, judgment, and equity. Or maybe to put that in a single word, integrity. Okay, it's for training in integrity. And I think integrity is one of the objectives of all the wisdom literature, right? To teach us integrity. And the kind of world that you get when integrity is lacking, that's what we're now witnessing, right? If there is one thing we have seen over the last week, and I wouldn't just say this last week, I would extend this over the last 12 years, for sure, at least that, probably more, is that integrity in public life is pretty much dead. You know, this week we have seen the naked lying and manufacturing of falsehoods. We've seen dirty deeds done under the cover of darkness. And I think you will all agree it's been enough to, you know, grit your teeth and turn your stomach, right? If you think about it, it's another symptom of what you get when a nation turns away from God, okay? There's a proverb that says, I didn't put it on your paper, but you know the proverb that says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Okay, that's 14:34 in case you want to know. Righteousness exalteth a nation, sin is a reproach to any people. When a people doesn't have a sense of accountability toward God and they don't fear his law, you're inevitably going to get the sort of thing that we witnessed this week, the sort of by any means necessary, you know, lie, cheat, cover up, make false accusations. All of that is going on. You know, however we have to get to the finish line, we're going to do what it takes. And it's because for three generations minimum now, we've had a worldview without God taught to everyone growing up. And now, you know, you have people who are in their 50s, 60s who, you know, in elementary school stopped having prayer in school, okay? Now there's more people than not in who are running the show who have no qualms about pulling whatever kind of shady trick and dirty trick is necessary. So integrity is the subject, or personal honor. There, you know, we no longer live in an honor-based society. Okay, we talk about liberty and justice for all, but that's plainly to some people, it's a joke, you know. Here's Isaiah, I think it's 58 or 59. Isaiah says, in transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. Okay, so we're talking about the ninth commandment tonight, right? The ninth commandment is, shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Isaiah says, so justice is turned aside, it's turned back. Righteousness stands far off. Truth has fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Truth is nowhere to be found, and whoever shuns evil becomes a prey, becomes a target. Okay? What we are witnessing is the absolute necessity. It's proof of the necessity of the ninth commandment. Okay, you kick the Ten Commandments out, what do you expect to get except their opposite? Okay, now if you are at Mount Sinai and the thundering God of Mount Sinai is telling you, you will not bear false witness against your neighbor, you're going to straighten up right quick. But if there is no God, sure, why not use any means necessary to get whatever you want? I mean, who's to say that what's wrong with a lie, right? Aren't honesty and integrity really just social constructs that we sort of use, right? They're just kind of conventional values that actually hinder us from getting what we want. We can't achieve our vision for society if we have to be honest all the time, okay? So I was going to do this topic at some point anyway, believe me, but because there are so many proverbs that have to do with personal integrity, false witnesses, honesty, truth-telling, it just sort of turned out that this week seemed to cry out for a lesson about the ninth commandment. So before we get into them, you know, just sort of remember what the scriptures say. Romans 2, for example, that God's laws are not just for other people. Okay, it's one thing to see iniquity out in the world and you know, point at it in other people and sort of be disgusted by it, but you have to apply God's law to each ourselves, right? The sin isn't just a reproach to a people, it's a reproach to an individual. Okay, so you know how Paul sees himself. Before the law came, I had no sin, but by the law comes the knowledge of sin, right? I see sin in me, and I know that in my flesh, you know, there's no good thing, and I want to be rescued out of this body of sin. And so thanks be to God, we have a Savior. Okay, so all of these that we say, you know, I know you're going to think politics all night. Just reflect on them on the individual level as well. We should have a sense of indignation at sin in the world, but when we find it in ourselves, that also should, it should make us indignant about ourselves, sin in ourselves. That's the Holy Spirit making us yearn for personal integrity. So tonight, in addition on your paper, rather than just listing the Proverbs, you see they're kind of in categories. I put them under a few headings. So the first few are just sort of general observations. They don't really relate to anything. They just sort of make statements. So 12:17, he who speaks truth declares righteousness, but a false witness speaks deceit. And deceit means deceiving means I'm trying to put one over on somebody by selling them something that isn't true as though it is true. Okay? So I tricked you, you know, I deceived you. That's the idea. A false witness speaks deceit. He's trying to make something sound true that isn't. 14:5 says a faithful witness. And when you think witness, you can think of, you know, witness in court, that sort of thing. A faithful witness does not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. So that's pretty straightforward. It's amazing, I think, but maybe it shouldn't be so amazing. Today you actually have to defend the position that lying is wrong. It's unrighteousness. And it's clear that there are a lot of people who think that lying is, you know, it's perfectly allowable under the right circumstances. If you have to lie to achieve a greater good or, you know, just you go right ahead. But God leaves no room for that sort of, you know, that kind of shenanigans, right? Truthfulness equals righteousness, okay? Lying is unrighteousness. Let's see. Yeah, that was in the first one. He speaks truth declares righteousness. Righteousness, you have to speak truth. 19:28 says, a disreputable witness scorns justice, and the mouth of the wicked devours iniquity. So lying makes a travesty of justice, right? People laugh at the idea of justice. Amazing, because there's all of this talk about social justice. But to achieve social justice, evidently you have to tread down actual justice and violate that with lies and with half-truths. Okay, so this is what we've seen. You can't issue an accurate, true report, because if you did, you wouldn't get your way. But by making getting your way the priority, what you've done is to scorn justice. That's what it says. He scorns justice, right? Isaiah said, justice is turned back. And it says, in the mouth of the wicked devours iniquity. Eats it, right? He likes, eats it. 14:25, a true witness, look, he delivers souls. But a deceitful witness speaks lies. So with some of these proverbs, what you do is you sort of take the second half and you overlay it over the first half and you have to fill in the blank. So what does a deceitful witness do? He doesn't deliver souls, he destroys souls. Okay? Sometimes Proverbs work this way. Truth tellers deliver souls. Liars send souls to destruction. So the next one, 24:28, puts it in the form of a command or an application. Do not be a witness against your neighbor without cause. Our version, the New King James, puts this second half in form of a question. Other versions just state it. Don't deceive with your lips. Or, you know, are you going to use your lips to deceive? Right, don't do it. There's the ninth commandment. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Now, why not? So the next two categories, this is the next category. Why not do this? Well, number one, because it's a matter of your relationship to God. So 12:22 says, lying lips. This is why not. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are his delight. Okay, now this week I've heard a number of people say, well, you know, whoever the Lord thinks best or whoever the Lord wants to put in the office, you know, he'll put in office. Well, okay, that's true, but I will just remind you that that doesn't make that a good thing for anybody, right? The Lord often allows into power people that do things that he hates, okay? If you don't believe that, you evidently have not studied history even a little bit, because you can name any number of people that have done plenty of things that the Lord hates. Okay, the person may be there, but the means by which they got there can be very despicable to the Lord, right? Lying lips are an abomination, and those who deal truthfully are his delight. The next one says, this is 14:2, he who walks in his uprightness fears the Lord. Okay, so truthfulness, integrity are a matter of your relationship to the Lord. He who is perverse in his ways despises the Lord. So the conduct or your attitude toward telling the truth reflects what's in the heart. If a person is crooked and deceitful, then the conclusion is this person despises the Lord. Okay, integrity comes from this sense of some sort of moral responsibility, right? If a man has integrity, it's because he thinks he's accountable to someone greater than himself, that he's going to have to answer for his actions, and he owes allegiance to someone higher than himself, even if that costs him. Okay, lying and cheating show you've replaced God with yourself. Okay, he who is perverse in his ways despises the Lord. The next three, they all go together, the next three. They all have to do the same theme here. They all have to do with cheating, sort of cheating in business. They all sort of sound alike, but each of them relates this honest dealing in business to your relationship to God. It says, honest weights and scales are the Lord's, and all the weights in the bag are his work, right? I don't cheat. I don't, you know, shave coins, or, you know, I don't add to the weights. I don't put my thumb on the balance, because that would be dishonoring to God. The next two are pretty similar. Diverse weights and diverse measures, they are both alike. They're an abomination to the Lord. And that was in the law, right? You shall not have two sets of weights, you know, a slightly heavy shekel and a slightly light shekel, you know, a slightly larger basket, slightly smaller basket. So when you buy, you use the heavy one. When you sell, you use the light one. You say, what? It's a shekel, you know, it says right on it, right? You're getting the full measure, but it's really a little bit less. Okay, don't do that. It's an abomination to the Lord. 20:23, diverse weights are an abomination to the Lord, and dishonest scales are not good. Okay, and this is what we've just seen. False counting, right? Partiality, dishonesty about, you know, we're going to count these, we're going to discount these. So it's exactly what we have. The next two, 21:3 and 21:27, I included these because Brother Dave mentioned something on Wednesday about how they had showed the candidate in church, right? And well, okay, you know, it's just a photo opportunity, you understand? To do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Well, politicians go to church, of course, because the camera takes a picture of them in church. And you say, see, there they are in church. That means this is a man of integrity. Look, it's part of this. It's part of the con. It's part of the sale. They have a public image to maintain. And so, you know, I just want you to know he's a good man, whatever, he went to church. Look, the Lord told us, be wise as serpents. But you see how quickly people are taking it. Hey, it was in the newspaper. I saw a picture of him in church. I saw the story. Okay, and so I will ignore, you know, this huge pile of ungodliness and destructiveness that the person has done and what he stands for. Okay, so the next one says about him going to church, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination. How much more when he brings it with wicked intent? Okay, he's doing this because he knows people are going to see this and I'm going to get votes from it. Okay, you're doing it with wicked intent. Okay, if really you were a man of God, you would steer clear of all kinds of deceit. You would change your ways. So that's the next one. 16:6 says, in mercy and in truth, atonement is provided for iniquity, and by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. Okay, so atonement means a covering for sin, right? Turn from wickedness, turn to righteousness, mercy, truthfulness, right? God will not count the sins of the righteous man against him. Okay, by the fear of the Lord, a person departs from evil, right? If the Lord doesn't exist, no need for you to fear him, right? And if there's no need for you to, why would you depart from evil? Just do what you want. Do whatever it takes. Okay? Atonement hangs in the balance, though, here. It's repent and believe the good news. Okay? Depart from evil. Live for righteousness. Okay? So the next category here is, besides this being a matter of your relationship to God, falsehood also is ruinous to community or ruinous to the society, right? This causes damage to people. So these are the next few. 18:5 says, it's not good to show partiality to the wicked or to overthrow the righteous in judgment. People who are supposed to be in charge of determining matters rightly and fairly harm society by showing favoritism. Okay, you're showing partiality. It's not good. Okay, this is one of those Bible understatements. It's not good. Yes, I understand it's not good. Our country has suffered very much, and of course not just our country. Countries all over the world suffer from this sort of lying, partiality, corrupt judges on the take, that sort of thing. People are supposed to be neutral and impartial and say, you know, it doesn't matter who you are, this is what the law is what the rule is, and so here's the ruling. Okay, you know it doesn't work that way. There's partiality. Okay, like I said, integrity. Integrity is the issue. Integrity is dying. 16:27 says, an ungodly man digs up evil, and it is on his lips like a burning fire. Okay, it harms. It's destructive. 26:28 says, a lying tongue hates those who are crushed by it, and a flattering mouth works ruin. Okay, and what have you seen? You have seen, not just for this week, you have seen so much just targeted hatred. They hate people, and so they, you know, that all of these schemes and lies come out because there's hatred at the core. So the second greatest commandment, of course, is love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, that's the summation of the law and the prophets. But all of this lies and the innuendo and the conspiracy, they crush, they harm, they, you know, they're the tools of hatred. So here's one of the ones where I thought, you know, this is a time when we have to remind ourselves, this is something that doesn't just apply to other people. Okay, none of them are that way, but I just, you know, I want to take a time out here and say, you know, whenever we deceive or tell a lie or distort the truth, the proverb says there's hate at the core of that. Okay, there's harm being done, there's hurt. And, you know, if you give that a little thought, I feel like, you know, what Hebrews says is true, that the word of God pierces right to your core. And it, you know, it puts its finger right on the sensitive spot, that deceit and lies are forms of hatred. You know, you lie to your boss, or you lie to your wife, or you lie to your parents, or whatever, okay? Lies do harm. They, it says they work ruin. And you say, well, I don't hate that person, right? I don't hate my wife, I don't hate my parents, and I don't, you know, okay? The scripture says that lying is the liar hates the one who's targeted by the lie. And it's just something to see that, like I said, Paul says, I look in my heart and, you know, I see these things that make me so, you know, I wish I could just get out of this flesh, out of this body of sin. And thanks be to God that he's given us a Savior, right? We need to be cleansed from all unrighteousness, and that unrighteousness goes way down deep, okay? A lying tongue hates those who are crushed by it. Just wanted to remind you that there's a, you know, that personally applies. Next one says, he who covers a transgression or forgives, you know, covers it up, I'm not going to bring it up again. He who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter, you know, keeps bringing it up. This is the harm it does. He separates friends, right? You're doing damage. And, okay, this is a matter of integrity. You know, you don't talk about somebody behind their back. You don't break a confidence. You don't, you know, throw it back in somebody's face after you said, you know, I forgot about it. You're going to separate friends. You're going to damage a relationship because that creates discord. You know, it undermines love. Okay, so it's an aspect of integrity to cover a transgression, to say, you know, I forgive you, I forgot, you know, I understand we're all weak, I'm not going to bring it up, and I'm not going to go tell them about it and complain about you behind your back. Okay, it's integrity to keep matters to yourself. 25:18, a man who bears false witness against his neighbor is like a club, a sword, and a sharp arrow. Right? I'm hurting you. I whack you with a club, I stab you with a sword, and I shoot you with an arrow. The next one says, like a madman who throws firebrands, and just picture that, and arrows, and death. I don't know how you throw death, but look out. Is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, I was only joking. Okay, that was just a little white lie. I wasn't serious. It was harmless. Okay, well, it's not harmless. And that's the next category. It's not harmless because people believe the lie. Okay? Lies wouldn't do any damage if everybody knew they were lies. Right? If everybody recognized they were... But people's default state is to be trusting. Right? Maybe too much so. People's default state is not to be on the lookout for the evil one. So here's a few in that category. The simple believes every word, but the prudent considers well his steps. Okay, the original sin happened because Eve was innocent. She was simple, right? The serpent came in craftiness and deceived her. She wasn't suspecting. And that is what is so despicable about a lie. It's committed against an unsuspecting and innocent person. Okay, like I said, lying is an act of hate. This person didn't do anything to deserve you pulling one over on them. Okay, and like I said, the Lord told us we better get real about the kind of world that we're living in. This verse says you need prudence. Prudence means, you know, be on the lookout. Be like I said, wise as serpents. So there's a modern day proverb that says, don't believe anything you hear and only half of what you see. Okay? I don't believe anything I hear. And even when, you know, they say seeing is believing, even then I'd say, you know, you better look out. Like, oh, I saw it on the news, right? And that's why they did what they did with the counting, the coloring in the states. As soon as you saw it on TV, oh, well, it's a fact now, right? I saw it on TV. The news people said so, therefore it must be true, right? They know this applies. The simple believes every word. So don't be simple, okay? Be wise. 17:4 says, an evildoer gives heed to false lips, right? They keep telling each other the same lies and they go around and around. A liar listens eagerly to a spiteful tongue. All right, it's a conspiracy. Another one, this is about gossip and how quick we are to listen to it. I like this one. The words of a talebearer, a gossip, are like tasty trifles. They're like bonbons. They go down into the inmost body. Right? This is candy. I like this. I'm going to gobble that up because I like, you know, juicy gossip. That's what we say. It's juicy, right? God's word is so perceptive. I mean, God's word really, it knows how people work. And to me, I find this fascinating that God is sinless, right? God doesn't, you know, go in for sin. He doesn't delight in sin, but he sees us and his words, you know, his word hits us exactly where we are, and how he manages to understand sinful people when he's not sinful is just amazing. Okay, but he knows us. The next one, it's three verses in a row. He who hates disguises it with his lips, right? He won't tell you right to your face he hates you. He lays up deceit within himself. When he speaks kindly, do not believe him. For there are seven abominations in his heart. Though his hatred is covered by deceit, his wickedness will be revealed before the assembly. Oh, he's such a nice man. You know, look how he smiles for the camera. Look how he goes to church, right? When the Antichrist comes, I think it's going to be just the same way. He is so charismatic. He is so likable, right? Like in 1984, Big Brother, right? Oh, Big Brother, he loves you, right? He's affectionate. He's looking out for you. Big Brother's looking out for you, okay? Don't believe it. Christ's disciples here, this is the last one in this category, Christ's disciples ought to know better It says a righteous man hates lying. I think that's what's kind of been our feeling this week, right? The righteous man hates lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and comes to shame, right? But you don't just hate it when other people lie, whenever you catch yourself doing any kind of deceit. Don't, right? You know, I just remind you, there are things that the Lord hates, and it says he'll come to shame. So before I get to that, about what's coming to the liar, I'll just throw in these three that I found that have to do with the government. So the first is 17:7, which says, excellent speech is not becoming to a fool, right? Fools talk foolishly, they don't talk excellently, right? They don't match, much less fitting lying lips for a prince, right? A prince should not lie. It's not fitting, it's not good. God's will for government, obviously, would be that you'd have the king or whoever you have. This person should be, you know, the champion of goodness, righteousness, law-keeping. You know, he should be sort of the final authority in, you know, what's right and what's wrong as far as man's government of man. And that's what we see, you know, in the scripture. When scripture talks about the ideal kinds of kings and government, you assume that they're going to be the arbitrators of what's right. And if that's missing, the whole thing is, you know, the whole thing's going to be in chaos. Okay, so that's kind of the next one, 16:10. Different versions say different things here. Divination is on the lips of the king. And that doesn't mean like something spiritual. It means like decision-making is on the lips of the king. His mouth must not transgress in judgment, okay? He's supposed to be rendering right judgments. And there is kind of that word that he's got God's authority, right, divine. He must not transgress in judgment. Unfortunately, they do, and that's what the other one says. It's an abomination for kings to commit wickedness, for a throne is established by righteousness, okay? And it's abomination because there's no, where else can you go? You know, if the highest law in the land, in this case a king, or say in our country the Supreme Court maybe, or the president, if they render judgment crookedly, perversely, what are people to do, all right? This is a wrong that's inflicted upon the world, right? And as God says, it's an abomination. Okay, so the next category there says there's going to be recompense. Of course, we all know this as Christians. There's a judgment day coming. Chapter 19 had three of them that says a false witness will not go unpunished. He who speaks lies will not escape. Next one, pretty much the same. A false witness will not go unpunished. He who speaks lies shall perish. Right, shall perish. And verse 29, judgments are prepared for scoffers and beatings for the backs of fools. Right, the fool says in his heart there is no God. Right, that's why he behaves as he does. But he's going to find out how foolish he was. Okay, God's going to punish. 26:27 says whoever digs a pit, you know, to lay a trap for somebody. Right, it's a way to deceive, way to entrap. It's just like hoping to destroy somebody by a surprise. Right, whoever digs a pit will fall into it, and he who rolls a stone, right, obviously to drop it on somebody. We'll have it roll back on him. 18:7, a fool's mouth is his destruction, will end up being his destruction. His lips are the snare of his soul. You're going to pay with your soul for your lies. May your lips snare your soul. Next one says, getting treasures by a lying tongue, I like this one because it says a lot, is the fleeting fantasy of those who seek death. Okay, this one's kind of ironic, because nobody would say, I'm seeking death, right? What are they seeking? They're seeking power, they're seeking prestige, they're seeking money, they're seeking wealth, right? Solomon says the thing that they're really seeking and what they're going to get is God's wrath. But I like this, it's a fleeting fantasy, you know? It's one day the treasure will be gone, but God's wrath is going to remain, right? It'll be a mirage, it will be... it will be gone. It's a fleeting fantasy. It's temporary. So the conclusion there is in 14:22, do they not go astray who devise evil? But mercy and truth are for, right? Mercy and truth belong to those who plan or devise good, because we know that God repays each person according to his deeds. So men are guilty of their own sins, right? Men are guilty of their lies, but they lie because they themselves have been led astray, right? They've gone astray. Peter says they've forsaken their right way and they've followed the way of Balaam, who loved the wages of righteousness, right? I mean, for a bag of gold, he was prepared to go down there and tell some lies. Revelation says, and the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire. Okay, do they go astray? Yes, liars have gone astray. But that's what the devil, who's the father of lies, that's what he's inflicted on the world, right? And now we live in a world that's chock full of deceived, straying men and women. Okay, so there's a call to repentance. Question is anyone going to hear it? The ear that hears the rebukes of life, right? If you hear and respond, the ear that hears the rebukes of life will abide among the wise. Okay, you can repent. You don't have to perish. Next one says, he who disdains instruction despises his own soul. Right, you're going to end up being lost because of you won't listen to the call to repentance. But he who heeds rebuke gets understanding. But it looks like Solomon's generally not very optimistic. Okay, he says, a scoffer does not love one who corrects him. We've all run into people like this. You know, why don't you, you know, turn to the Lord, turn to Jesus? No, no thanks. Brother Dale will give you lots of stories. No, I don't want that. No, thank you. Keep that away from me. A scoffer does not love one who corrects him, nor will he go to the wise. And then the next last one there. If you're a wise man, all you need is a little talking to. Okay, rebuke is more effective for a wise man than 100 blows are for a fool. Okay, the fool just does not listen to what could save his soul. And that's what 2 Thessalonians says about people who perish following the Antichrist. They refuse to believe, they refuse the love of the truth, and they chose a lie. They loved and practiced a lie. Okay, so just to wrap it up, like I said, the call's not just for people on TV, it's for everyone. Each of us personally are like sheep that have gone astray. The devil has deceived us all, and we've all been false at one time or another. Just remember that, you know, it's a penetrating verse. A lie is an act of hatred. Okay, most men will proclaim each his own goodness, but who can find a faithful man? It's hard to say, you know, you can't find one who's sinless. It's only one. Who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin? That's a stretch, right? God knows us. Solomon obviously knew men very well. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the hearts, right? The Lord sees what's happening in the dark. Thank God he's provided atonement for us, right? We all need it. Heaven knows we all need it. That's why Christ is so precious, right? The more you know your own heart, the more you love Christ, because whoever's forgiven much loves much, okay? So these are just parting thoughts. I'm not going to talk about them. Just we claim to follow Christ. We live in this corrupt world. We have to go out the door tonight and go back out into it. So these are just parting thoughts. Since we have to live here, let's do that knowing that, like Nebuchadnezzar learned the hard way, God reigns over the kingdoms of men. So just these three, and then I'm done. The righteous man walks in his integrity. Key word for tonight, integrity. His children are blessed after him. Amen. Second one speaks for itself. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. And last one, after I just talked for over half an hour. He who has knowledge spares his words, and a man of understanding is of a calm spirit. Okay, keep calm. The Lord will watch over us, and may integrity and justice prevail and bring him honor and glory. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your wonderful word. Thank you for, Lord, the penetrating insight that comes from reading Proverbs. Thank you, Lord, that you understand us. You're so high above us, Lord. You're so perfect in every way, and yet your Holy Spirit manages to speak to people who are so unlike you in a way that is just right for us to hear and respond. So, Lord, as weak ones, as liars, I should say, sometimes as deceivers, or, people who have not always been entirely truthful. We pray, Father, that we would grow in integrity, that we would represent you well, like Paul says in Philippians, shining lights in the midst of a corrupt and perverse generation, holding out the word of life. So we pray for one another, Lord, as we go. You know, Father, the things that are going to happen in the week ahead, and I say in the years ahead, until the kingdom comes, Father, you know. So help us, Lord, to insist on our own personal integrity, what's right and true and good. Give us wisdom according to your word. Thank you for the precious gift of Proverbs. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen.